Greetings and welcome to Baron's Crypt, our 259th show with your host. It is I, Baron Craze, a horror historian to many of you and a complete psychotic to the rest. Well, we had opening our show there, 45 Grave was the band and the track is Party Time. Most of you know that that song is from Return of the Living Dead. If you didn't know, it came out in 1985. It is a wonderful horror with a little undertone of a kind of almost black comedy going through it. It's just a really good, solid movie with a fantastic soundtrack. Well, hey, I know you're going to say, Baron, you're having some weird different schedule times here. Yeah. Look, this week has been difficult in a lot of ways. Let me try to explain how it's been really difficult. See, I'm coming up on an anniversary. It's actually happening tomorrow. And it's an anniversary that I don't want to have, but unfortunately, I have no choice but to go forward. I can't go back, can't deviate, I can't avoid it. I have to just accept it and take it head on. And you're saying, well, what kind of anniversary is that? It's the anniversary of my father's passing. See, he died on the 13th, and you know this is going to be a bitch because there's going to be Friday the 13th shows out there. I'm going to have to kind of relive this day over and over when this happens. It's just something there is. It was fascinating to kind of learn, you know, talking to some people and finding out that his favorite number was 13. Something he kept hidden from me for some weird reason. We had that kind of weird relationship, kind of military, authoritative type of understanding in life. While he did like Alvin Costello movies, he enjoyed The Three Stooges, believe it or not, Laurel and Hardy. So his kind of comedy was very old school. Maybe that's the reason I don't really fall into liking a lot of the comedy today. It's difficult. I find the humor of today what they call blue. Or if you can't tell the humor in the light, you know, come on. Do you always need to drop an F-bomb? Of course, you know, look at me. Who's talking about F-bombs? I run two shows out there. Shreddy Metal Beast and Sinister Death, where all I do is drop F-bombs and every other curse word you can possibly conceive of. But anyway, a lot of people lost a lot of loved ones in the past year, and they continue to lose. So it's a date that just is going to come. So I said, listen, I'm going to buckle in, and I'm going to do a show anyway. And, you know, some people are like, wow, you're really going to do this? And I'm like, yeah, you know, why not, right? I mean, what else I got going on? I mean, what the hell, right? You just do the show, you do your best at it, and then you go for it, right? I mean, what more can you possibly do? Anyway, just kind of noting that. Trying to see here, I thought we had a list of something that was kind of interesting. I don't seem to know where I put it right now. I'll find it later, or during a break, I'll come back to it or something. I'm just looking for it now, and it doesn't seem to be appearing anywhere. It was somebody had asked a question, and it was about, Baron, when are you going to do shows like your number 300 and a number 500 show, and of course the, oh Lord, the 666 show? And I'm like, you know, we kind of figured it out. We have a list somewhere. Maybe we'll find it before the show is out. I know we wrote it down, put it down someplace, and guess what? I'm kind of like a pat rack sometimes. I put things everywhere and I forget where I put something. So if I can figure it out, I will note it later in the show. But something I do want to discuss that I found to be really interesting, two things. First of all, we finally got the number tallied for the Hard Times, our website out there. For last year, it takes a little time to tally it all in, make sure all the numbers are up to date. We had, and I got to humbly thank everybody out there for this. We had 233,030 views. That's everything. I mean, every article, press release, you name it, the whole thing tallying that number is incredible. I really don't even know how to comprehend that. Just so you understand something, you can go to any page on the Hard Times and you can hit the refresh button. There's just a small problem. It's not going to count. The number is not going to increase at the bottom of the page. You can hit it 1,000 times, your little refresh button. Your article is not going to increase. So if that's your film up there, you really only have two choices. You can either tell us, hey, that's my movie, could you promote it more? And then, you know, we can negotiate a fee because, you know, the Baron does promotion work. So, you know, we're always looking to get paid. Or, and we do this a lot anyway, we just tweet it out there. You can share it yourself. You can like it and have a good time with it, which is really like probably the better route to go in life. If you think about it, it's your film. You should promote it more. You know, so that's a great way of doing it. Now, having noted that, we put something up on the site, and we kind of mentioned it a little bit in I think in our last show, but I want to go over it a little bit more in detail because some people had some questions about it. It's called The Visions of Horror. It's our watch list, if you would. I just didn't like the term watch list. It's been so overused. I mean, think about it. There are so many sites out there right now that use watch list. And again, everybody has one of these someplace. They'll have a list. They'll put it out every year. And it's great, but it's also not that fun because it's got a lot of repeat stuff on it. So, again, I basically would like to put it this way to you, you listeners out there. Would you have the guts, and I really do mean this, the guts to allow people to choose movies for you to watch? Now, there's always a person out there who goes, hey, I'm a little bored tonight. Can anybody recommend something for me to watch this tonight or this weekend? That's one thing. But to turn that entire switch over for a year for others to choose. Now, look, that isn't saying you can or I can't watch other movies during the year. That's going to happen. It's already happened. But you got to note it on this, you know, our Vision of Horror list. So, imagine that. You give over your access or you give over to your friends, look, these are the VOD sites I use. So now go. That means they have the ability. Your Facebook friends know this and they go, okay, here's the films I've chosen for you to watch in the month of January or the now February list, right? And you go, that's cool. Maybe you set up a list on a Blogger site or a Tumblr site or something else out there that's free of all the DVDs and all the Blu-rays you own. And now you got people choosing that for you to watch too. It gets kind of interesting if you think about it. I mean, you know, as I do, what you would choose and what you wouldn't pick. You know, well, I'm not going to go swimming in the gutter for certain films. I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's cool. There's no problem with that. But, now here's the kicker, but what if you gave it over and you allow others to choose for you? I mean, talking about taking your, people say, wow, you're giving up your freedom over this one. And I go, really not giving up my freedom. I'm allowing my free will onto others to choose for me. And now I have to then go through and see if I have the best way to say it is, do I have the integrity to actually go through with my own free will to do this? And yes, I do. The list is accurate. The dates are accurate. The only thing we don't put down on the list is where we watched that movie. You know, some say, well, we should do that. And I'm against that because here's the problem. Some of the films are screeners, so you can't watch them the way I did. Some of the films were downloaded that somebody did on their own and it sent me the video file. Great. Others, we got the DVD or a Blu-ray, or we got it from another source. So it's not really fair. If I put down the word private, well, what the hell is that going to do for you? You can't go watch the movie because you can't find the film. So what do? We just went with the normal way of doing it. The list is the list. And you're going, okay, now Baron's got to then up it one more, right? What do I got to do? Well, gee, everybody who comes up with this list just writes down all the films they watched and the end of it. Whoop-de-doo. How about this? How about I review the films? Oh, yeah. And we're not talking short little films here. We're talking, you know, they're full movies with full reviews. And I don't know if I can do it. I have no clue. And I already know. I already found out something in February's list. How do I put this nicely? certain people decided that they didn't like that the month had 28 days in it, and they pumped a few extra films into it, making it a little bit more rounder. I just know there's a couple more tripwires waiting for me in this thing that I didn't actually find out or I signed up for, so to speak. Yes, there are people out there who are going to have fun with the Baron. But of course, what they didn't realize is, hey, we're having watch parties. As long as you don't have a temper or anything, you're coming over to watch the film with me. And look, you picked it. We're going to sit down and watch it. They're just not really happy about that right now. But it's a lot of fun also. I don't know if I do an actual watch party with other people. I'm not really sure how that actually works. I just know how to do a watch party as put the film in the DVD player and play it. And we watch it that way. But it's great. I love how you guys are going right into it full board. Right now, I'm looking at the number for the Visions of Horror for January. 333 views on it. I mean, that's phenomenal. I wasn't expecting that many. And I'm really happy. There's a lot of cool movies on here. Look, like Cheerleader Camp. I got to watch that. And again, like I said, I got to watch it. I mean, I watched it from the list. But Cheerleader Camp. That's a slasher. That's a pretty good slasher movie. Let's see what else. Popcorn. Oh, that's a classic one. It's got an interesting backstory to it, and a little bit of that I'm going to touch on one of the actors in the film, what they had to do to get in into that movie a certain way. The Cat Girl, right? The Cat Girl was done, and somebody told me this, why they put it in there. Barbara Shelley was in the movie, so obviously they put that in there for me, so that was really cool. They also put in Blood of the Vampire, which is an Anglo-cycle horror film, if you would. And you may go, Anglo? What are you talking about? It's, how do I put this? It's kind of really a film that falls into an in-between time in horror. It's not a clear vampire movie, but it's got some interesting overlays into it. It's going to be a fantastic review when it's done. A lot of these, I'm writing the reviews and I'm writing them in bits and pieces. So they're kind of interesting of how they're working themselves out. Of course, you do have some, you know, those kind of movies. You know what I'm about to say. Crap fest movies is not maybe the right word for it, but a little, what in the hell were they thinking? Like, Hot Wax Zombies on Wheels. I'm telling you, when that film came down the list, there were people I know looked at the list and said, oh my God, this list is really an honest list. He's not just picking, you know, highbrow stuff. He's got everything on this list. He really does. Exorcism at 60,000 Feet. Old Dracula from 1974, which is a, it's got a little, it's almost like it's trying to bring a little bit of black poitation into it. So if you know films like Blackula, for example, just put out Blackenstein, it's not that far gone, but it's still got a certain kind of tone going through it. It brings a lot of jive into it, if you would. And it's just that, you know, it's a film that struggles to maintain itself, but it's just interesting because it was a double bill, believe it or not. Old Dracula was a double bill movie with, in 1974, think about it, what other kind of film would you put it with? You think about it, it is Young Frankenstein. Just an interesting thing there. There was a double bill there. Double bills are basically when you had one film or two movies playing and you paid a certain price and you got to watch two movies, which was a really cool thrill. It's a great list out there. February's is even more interesting, and I do mean that is very interesting. I will still be doing the anniversary films. Somebody asked me about that, and I said, yes, I'll still be doing anniversary movies, so that'll be something extra thrown into the watch list, because, yes, I could do them from memory, but I like to always go back and watch them, and those will be then also put onto the watch list there, too. And it's been suggested that I do some one-off shows about some of these anniversaries, some of them that I won't be reviewing because there's just too many of them. And I thought that's a pretty good way also to get our numbers to climb higher. So that is going to be definitely something I'll be looking into. Now, tonight's show is basically a 90-minute long show. We're going to have the Collector's Attic on here. I know a lot of people are looking forward to having that. And also more horror news. But for right now, we're going to take a small little music break. We're going to be playing, what are we playing? I think we're playing something kind of interesting. You guys know Nimvid, you know I like his music, so guess what? I'm going to play another track from Nimvid. I'm not going to tell you what it is, see if you can all figure it out. And if you do, great. If not, I'll tell you when we get back. Welcome back to the Baron's Crypt. So we just finished playing, if you couldn't figure it out. That was Nimvid with Killing Saturday Night. Now, some of you can figure out what is going on this show, because if you go to the hardtimes.com site and scroll all the way down to podcast, you will find the Baron's Crypt link there. And once you get there, you'll be set to figure out the entire script of what's going on. Another cool feature that opposed it before when I did the show is now with this script, you also get a lot of interesting links. You got videos to the music that is playing. You have links that are readily available for you to go check out sites, especially when we get to the collector's attic. Now, as I mentioned before we went to the break there, is that I had figured out a schedule that some people were curious about of when we would hit some milestone shows. And I guess for some people, they figure that I'm the guy who's going to get us to these levels, if you would. So, just for example, later this year, probably around November 26, if everything goes right according to plan, which we all know nothing ever goes according to plan. Sorry about that. There was sirens outside my window there that were getting really loud, so I had to do an emergency pause. Anyway, Again, people figure I'm going to achieve these levels. And so here we go. As I was saying, on November 26th of this year, we'll hit show number 300. Well, do you think that's kind of something we can definitely achieve? Then on the next milestone, the big one, 500 shows in, would be then September 26th of 2025. That's if I do one show a week. Now, there is a possibility that that gets increased if I start doing anniversary shows. Pardon, more sirens. Anyway, just a purely noted that in 2025, the Baron will reach the nice ripe age of 52. Now, here's where it gets more interesting. On December 1st of 2028, we will most likely have show 666. I'll be the nice ripe age, and then for 55. Now, what makes that interesting is that if you go back, well, not if you, but if I go back and I start looking at it, there's a chance that I might be able to squeeze in show 666 on October 13th, will be a Friday the 13th. So it could be interesting. But of course, the big one was, Baron, when does show 1000 come? All right. Let's just say podcasts are still in existence at this date. I have no clue. You have no clue. No one does. But here we go. That would be April 27th, 2035. And I would be 62 years old. Do you get a plan here that this is going to take some time? But again, I suppose now that someone's done this to me, they're going, see, Baron, you got to stick around now till you're 62. Because we believe that you're the only guy out there in horror that could do 1,000 shows and not have a problem. And you're probably right. I mean, these shows are freshly designed each time I do them. The script is laid out. Before it was, you know, just a series of index cards. And then it got a little bit too elaborate. We got really bogged down in details. And now we're kind of tapering it back. And this is still a learning process for us. So let's move into the collector's attic. Because when I didn't do this about a week or so back, okay, you all went nuts. What? I don't know. What happened? You guys can look this stuff up, right? Nope. For some reason, the Baron seems to have the magic touch to tell you what is going on in the collector's attic. For those who are unfamiliar, what is the collector's attic? It is just basically a place for you to lust over all the things that are available for horror fans to purchase. There's a site out there called the Broke Horror Fan. He does a lot of this, not all like this, but there's a lot that he does cover. If you had unlimited source of money, maybe you won the lottery or something, a big one, then you could play with this. If you haven't, now you'll most likely just be drooling all over the place. So, let's get started. This is not in any type of alphabetical order or cost or anything like that. It's just how I put the list together. In a week or so, the list will change in order, I guarantee you. So, for Mezco Toys, .com, if you would, they released a Halloween 2, which is the Michael Myers with sound. Now, I know you're saying, wait a minute, Michael doesn't speak. So we got Dr. Loomis's voice kind of doing the lines, if you would. Now, this is going off at a price of $98. It's 15 inches tall. Personally, I don't like this one. And the reason I don't like it, it's got this really kind of exaggerated looking head to it. I mean, that's okay if you're doing one of those pop figurines or you're doing a bobblehead. Otherwise, I don't really like it too much. But to each their own. It's not my job to tell you what to purchase, and it's not my job in any other aspect except to tell you, hey, what's coming out. Now, the next one is something I would purchase, just to purely note it down there. From Entertainment Earth, you've got Universal Monsters Ultimate Frankenstein Black and White. This is a 7-inch scale action figure going off at $33. This is coming off the Nika product line, if you would. It's a new license of theirs. Basically, with Frankenstein, you know, this is kind of in celebration, if you would. I mean, the film is, what, from 1931, so we're looking at, I think, 90 years. So, yes, we've got something significant there. Moving right along from Cavity Colors. If you aren't familiar with Cavity Colors, they're kind of like a Fright Rags, but they got a little bit more of a, what's the word I want to hit? I want to say a little bit more oomph into the color of the shirts. They just do something a little bit different. So they've got the Howling 40th Anniversary Edition t-shirt. It's basically $27. And I don't know if there's extra money put into that for your, what would you like to call that? I guess exercises up. It probably is. I think it goes up maybe to $30. Now, just for those who are curious, you're going, wow, the Howling. The Howling has always been like the, I guess, dark, you know, the dark secret hiding in the closet or under the bed, or I don't know, however you want to look at it, compared to its American Werewolf in London. These two movies have gone back and forth, and battling for dominance. But what people don't seem to understand is that during the 80s, if you would, there was a complete cycle of werewolf movies. I mean, look, in 81, you had Wolfen, right? To go along with The Howling and The American Werewolf in London. You also had Full Moon High, which is a horror comedy. That came out in 81 also. What else could we give you? Oh, well, not really kind of going in any kind of order here. You had Teen Wolf. Okay, not, say, a straight-up horror movie in any shape, way, or form. Came out in 85. Also in 85, you had Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, which is a weird movie, to say the least. But listen, you got Christopher Lee in the movie. Came out in 85. Silver Bullet, that came out in 85 also. You know, I also missed there, just thinking about it, The Company of Wolves, that came out in 84. And I think around 87, we maybe start tapering out here with The Howling 3. So, I mean, right there, you can see there's a lot of aspects into it. I think The American Werewolf in London only had one sequel to it, which was American Werewolf in Paris. I didn't think that was a very good movie. And I hear that they are remaking, of course, The American Werewolf in London again. Or I think it's this time, it's just the first time. The Howling has a long franchise in it that's been very messed up. It's like the equivalent to the Amityville Horror. Very, very twisted way they've had it. And I think it's had at least one reboot to the movie. All right, moving right along to a site called terror-vision.com. This is an interesting site. They've got some pretty cool LPs out there. Vinyl, if you guys don't know what an LP is. Vinyl. I am in the vinyl. Of course, the Baron does have to get a new stereo system. His is dead. Oh, boy. Okay, so anyway, a really cool LP that's being released is Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. This was a film that came out in 72. The soundtrack is by Carl. I'm not really sure how to say his last name. It's Zitterer. Now, this is going for about $27. But I also want to mention what TerrorVision has coming up. I think maybe later this year, just kind of an advance note for you. They're going to have the soundtracks to the following three movies. Now, I know a lot of you would probably go for two of these on the list. I would probably go, personally myself, I would go with two, but how should I put this? Some of you would be a little shocked which ones I would go for. So we have The Gate, which was a cool horror movie, by the way. People Under the Stairs, that is a fan favorite. And then we have a little bit of an obscure one. And again, this site is great for getting us obscure soundtracks out there. It is The House on Sorority Row. I had a pleasure of seeing this film on the big silver screen, if you would, at the movie theater when they had those kind of things, when there really was some great late night events. This one was there, I think, about maybe 2 years ago, maybe even three. It was wonderful. It's something where I always look at it now where, our selection of films going to the theater is really limited. Well, why not take advantage of that right now and put out some of those classic horror films? I mean, there is a list out there of some ones that are celebrating anniversaries, and there's just films out there that would just do so wonderful to put them up on the screen. But, of course, we can't have that, because that's just not something we like to think about. All right, over at Amok Time, that's A-M-O-K Time, there are two interesting spinatures. Now, if you've been following on the Waxwork Records, they've been doing some of these spinatures over there, they've been having a good thing. Now, if you're looking for the Universal Monsters, and you maybe have missed this, then you can get The Invisible Man and or The Mummy for $25 each. Both have free shipping. These are great. You don't have to open them out of the box. It's a great way just to have a bit of a collection here of the Universal Monsters alone, and just have that as going on there. I think that would be really great for a lot of people. Moving right along, we got Messed Up Puzzles. I love this company. I really do. I've ordered from them. A lot of these on here I have ordered from in the past, so I kind of give a vote of confidence with them. Messed Up Puzzles is a really good site. They got four new puzzles in right now. Elvira Xmas Jigsaw Puzzle, that's going for $30. Elvira Jigsaw Puzzle Version C, that's also for $30. Creepshow is another one out there for, I think, another $30. There's actually two versions of the Creepshow, so be aware of that. And then Suspiria, that's going for $29. So definitely something for you all to really get into. Over at Amazon, we have some books here that might interest different portions of our audience. I know that we have a huge group of people who like Elvira. So we got Yours Cruelly, Elvira Memoirs of... Ah, damn there. I lost my place for a moment. All right, so again, it's Cruelly... Yeah, can I try one more time? It's Yours Cruelly, Elvira Memoirs of the Mistress of Dark. It's a hardcover book. It's going to be released somewhere around September, I think the 21st, for basically $15. Now, coming out also is Beware, the Art of the Goosebumps. If you ever read the Goosebump books, collected them, I did. The artwork on these books was always really something that popped, I thought. This is a hardcover book. It's kind of like a what they call a coffee table book, if you would. It's going to be $30 and it's coming out on April 20th. So that's a good thing for you guys to check out. Over at the Halloween Town store. Now, while I've never actually ordered anything from this store, I have been in their physical store when I was out in California a few years back. Pretty cool store, to say the least. Anyway, if you're interested in Gremlins, they've got the Gremlins Stripe plush doll out there for $17. All right, I think we're going to be interrupted here for just a moment, so I'm going to stop. All right, now for probably our biggest ticket item this week in our collector's attic from Severed Films is Christopher Lee's European Vacation Bundle. Now, this is limited to 250 bundles that are out there. It's only for U.S. customers, so sorry about that for our foreign listening fans. It's going to be probably shipped out around May 25th. Now for the bad news. It costs us $168, but it does come with a lot in it. We have the Euro Crip of Christopher Lee Collection Blu-ray box set. We've got the Terence Fisher, the Master of Gothic Cinema book by Tony Dalton. First edition hardcover signed by the author. Note that this book is different from the Jonathan Rigby book that is included inside the Europe Crip box set. We have a Server Films Hall of Fame pin of Christopher Lee and a Christopher Lee tribute poster, which measures 18 by 24. Now, again, this package has so much into it, so let's try to go through it. We've got on disc one, The Castle of the Living Dead from 1964. This is considered the final film of Lee's early 60s European period. It is a a very good film. It's where the Count invites a theatric troupe back for a weekend of horrors. We have a really creepy performance by Lee that you will definitely cherish. This has got, I would say, a good amount of special features into it. And a CD soundtrack. On disc two, we have The Challenge, The Devil. Now, this should be noted here. This is probably one of Lee's most obscure movies throughout his entire career. If you get to see it, it's like a rarity. Many people kind of pass on a little bit because it's, obscure, a little bit of a gothic meets musical aspect to it. It is a little all over the place at times, but if you get a chance to watch it, you should just definitely take the time to do so. It's about 79 minutes long, so you're not like going to miss a whole lot of time in life. On disc three is Crypt of the Vampire from 1964. Now, this one is a definite enriched gothic shocker, really inspired by the immortal the novel of Carmela, a really good book, by the way. If you ever had the chance to read it, you definitely should. I mean, this has got The Forbidding Castle, The Curses, and Unnatural Desires. It's got everything you want into it. It is a really good movie, and the special features is only here, though, a trailer. Next, then, is Sherlock Holmes and the Deadly Necklace. Basically, this is Lee and Terrence Fisher really doing a good send-up here. This one has a lot into it, of course. Some people would probably find this maybe a little slow for them. It takes time to build, but that's normal for a Sherlock Holmes film. It's not going to be bang, 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 bang. It's really just going to take its time, and it's something that you definitely want to give your entire attention to, because there's a lot of little details in the film. On disc five and six, we have The Theater Macabre. This ran from 1971 through 72, where Lee hosted an anthology television series. And there's a lot of like short stories or short films, I really should say. It is really good. If you ever get the chance to watch it by itself, I definitely recommend it. There's about 24 surviving episodes. I think that's all of them. I'm not going to swear to that, but I think that's all of them. To watch the disc 5 and 6, you would have to pretty much give over 610 minutes of your life. But there is a nice promo feature from Christopher Lee. On disc 7, we have The Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism from 1967. This is where Lee stars again as another count, an insane nobleman found guilty of murdering a dozen virgins. Well, I guess everybody needs to have a small hobby. He drawn and quartered them for all kinds of things. but it is another good movie. Basically, the gothic trappings of these films is what really enriches somebody to find, how should I put this, to really find a serious passion for them. I definitely recommend, whether you buy the set or not, you should definitely check out this movie. Now, the special features for this one are seriously loaded in here. I do want to mention that there's a couple of these that are in German, with some that have English subtitles and some that don't have that. And that's always a detriment. If you're going to put in an interview, whether it may be audio or visual, and you're not putting in any type of subtitles to it, that's just not fair. I mean, most people who do buy these kind of box sets and these special features that have these incredible special features to them are going to want to hear. And knowing that, you know, you're going to sell this to the U.S. customers only, but you have German audio and no way for anybody who speaks English to understand, is a real kind of slap in the face, if you would. I don't really like that at all. I guess in a way, if I had the money and I wouldn't care if I spent the $168, yes, I would buy this. But if the $168 meant I could spend it on something else versus this, I think I'm going to go out and spend it on something else and just find these movies or films and whatever else on my own, that where I know that I'm going to get a English subtitles or dubbed in English, something. But yeah, that's a slight downside right there. On disc 8, let's see here, we have Relics from the Crypt. It's a collection of interviews with Christopher Lee over the years. Some are related to horror featurettes. Others are just kind of passing fancy, if you would. There's quite a bit here to go through. I'm not going to go through every line of it because it would just take really far, far too long. There's outtakes that are included here, which I always think they're very cool. There's a lot of things about monsters and vampires and crypt keepers. There's, you know, parts of like Cinescope, 1976, a Belgium TV interview. Now, that one is French, but with English subtitles. So, see, somebody went through and took the time to do it right. Other ones are French in here. And again, they have the English subtitles. So, that makes up for it in a lot of ways, and that's really good to have. On disc 9, we have the Castle of the Living Dead original soundtrack CD. So, that's always cool to have. And that pretty much rounds it out for this. A 9-disc book. Set. You got about eight Blu-rays and one CD. So definitely a lot here for you to really sink your fangs into. But again, you have to note that this is expensive. This is not going to be a cheap purchase. This is going to take a little out of you. But hey, what are you going to do? Well, let's move right along in our collector's attic. Just to purely note it to you, if you're interested in spending some cash, you got the 75% winter clearance sale occurring over at Spirit Halloween. I would personally probably just wait and spend my money somewhere else. Over at Screen Archives, which primarily does soundtracks to films, but of course does have Blu-rays on it, we got 4 soundtracks to discuss. And what are they? Well, that's easy. We got Freaky, which is a limited edition to 1,000 copies of it. Freaky's also going for $16. Psycho 3, which is a 2-CD set, is going for $30, which I find is unusual. You obviously have your Psycho, and then you have Psycho 3. I really haven't seen a time when Psycho 2 has been released. Something for us to maybe look up for next week's show to give you that insight. We also have the Silence of the Lambs, the 30th anniversary edition, expanded and reissued. Now, that's going for $20. And then we have The Awakening, reissue limited. That's going for $20. So, if you're a fan of these films, definitely got some soundtracks for you guys to enjoy. Well, we're about to close out of our collector's attic and move into our horror news. But with this being said, I will give you a little hint for next week's Baron's Crypt show with our collector's attic. We'll be diving into Vinegar Syndrome. They've got about 6 movies that would definitely entice some of you out there. So we're going to play right now Cold Blue Rebels version of the Enter Sandman. It's like a psychobilly kind of track, which, if you didn't know any better, is a Metallica song. So enjoy their cover track.
Pillow tight, exit light, enter I'd ever thought tonight, and the night of Snow White. Dreams of war, dreams of lies, dreams of dragon fire, and the things that fight. Yeah, sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. Exit lights.
Welcome back, and we just finished listening to Cold Blue Rebels, Enter Sandman, the metallic cover. All right, now moving into our horror news. So, as some of you probably have already realized, Walking Dead Season 11, well, it appears to be the last season. Now, just so some of you are aware of, this is going to consist of 24 episodes spread across 2 years. So we're looking at about, what, final season to stretch from 2021 to 2022. And then there's been rumors of some maybe TV movies involving the character Rick Grimes. So, you know, yes, we're coming to the end, but at the same time, there's still a ways to go. You know, someone's saying, why is this happening? It's a very simple reason. It's called the ratings. The ratings are starting to slip. Everybody's starting to get a little tired of it. It's run its course, and it's been a great course. Look, 11 seasons, that means the show is going to be in syndication for a long time. It's been a great ride, but everything comes to an end. It's just going to happen. All right, moving right along. We've got the, how should I put this, Event Horizon movie. Now, if you've never heard of Event Horizon, you have been living under a rock. I'm sorry to put it that way. It's a very true statement. This is a really creepy cult classic movie. It's going to be available as a collector's edition Blu-ray on March 23rd of this year from Scream Factory. Now, just so you understand something, I'm going to give you a little kind of background on this film for a plot. Event Horizon is a high-tech Pioneer research spaceship mysteriously vanished without a trace on its maiden voyage 7 years ago. But a weak, persistent signal from a long-missing craft prompts a rescue team headed by Captain Miller, which is Lawrence Fishburne, basically to wing its way across the galaxy on a bold rescue mission. And Company Miller is his elite crew, and the lost ship's designer, Sam Neill. What they uncover is unimaginable in the stellar horror. Now, when the film was originally released, it was panned by a lot of people. It really was. Critics didn't really like it. It was too far-fetched. It just didn't have enough. And then there's been a lot of kind of suggestive scenes into it. It went too far, some said. But really, this movie has grown with a cult following. There's a lot of people who like this particular movie. A lot of people are very eager for this. Now, it comes loaded with a lot of bonus features. So I'm going to take a moment to go through them all, because I've seen films get released, but it's rare when they really stack in all the bonus features like this one. Basically, we, of course, have the 4K scan from the original camera negative. Now, this is good and bad. Just so you understand something, you can only scan something to the best ability that's available. Once that original negative starts to deteriorate in any shape, way, or form, it does take longer. There's a few things you can do to fix it, but not a lot. So while the TVs are, you know, got all these pixels and everything's so digitized, if what was done originally can't be solved, then you can't fix it. But I think they did a really good job, because this is something that I've known about that's been in the works for quite a while. Now, there's a 5-part documentary included here about the making of Event Horizon. I keep saying that. Why? I don't know. Event Horizon. We've got, let's see here. I'm going to count them off. There's there's about 10 interviews with everybody you can imagine. So that is pretty cool. We've got interviews with the director, the writer, actresses, actors, production designers, set decorator. I mean, that's a rarity. You get an interview with a production designer, a set decorator, and a production manager? Whoa! That does not happen! So, I was going to count it off. I was going 1, 2, but there's just too many of them. Really looking at sound designer. An interview with a location manager. Excuse me. So let's understand something here. This one is finally going into a spot where so many others have not gone before. I mean, look, we've all watched interviews on these special editions where they're talking to the actors and the director and the writer. Maybe once in a while we get the composer. I have not seen one where we are going to have the production designer, set decorator, production manager, and a location manager, and a sound designer thrown all into that. What the hell? That's incredible. That right there makes this one something you got to get. Now, here's something else. They're also including a section called Secrets. These are the deleted and extended scenes. Now, which I don't think so, but it would have been great if they had actually put them back into the original movie, and they'd give you the option of watching that way. But I don't think that's here. But you still get a lot to really enjoy on here. you get to see a lot of conceptual art design here. Of course, you got your theatrical trailers, your video trailers, and your commentaries. But this is something that I think is really going to enhance a lot of people's respect for this particular movie. Moving onward, we have Curse of the Blind Dead, which is coming to DVD and digital on March 2nd from Uncorked Entertainment. Now, I want to state something right here. This film is in no way, I mean zero, connection to the original Blind Dead series, if you would, if you remember from the 70s. It just isn't connected to this in any way. It does try to link itself indirectly, but it really, really fails on a lot of levels. It doesn't contain any of that great atmosphere that the originals did. It doesn't live up to those levels. The Templars themselves look very different. And the new look of them isn't an improvement. It just lacks. Their creepy slow motion ride on the skeleton horses, if you remember that from the original Blind Dead series, was very eerie, very very gothic, very for some people found them to be incredibly almost a paranoid psychedelic moment for them. I mean, people were really freaked out by them. I didn't I didn't get that, and a lot of horror fans really didn't, but some people really got a deeper theological type of meaning to it all. This film will not give you that. This film won't give you the creepies. It won't give you the shivers. It's not going to happen. It's basically set, say, in the 14th century. A group of Satan worshippers known as the Knights Templar are captured during a ritual and brutally murdered by the locals. Just before the execution, the knights swear to return to haunt the village and the nearby forest. Centuries later, in a post-apocalyptic future, see, here we go. In a post-apocalyptic future, a man and his daughter try to survive against both the undead knights and a sect of commanded by a mad preacher. So, you already see what I'm saying. I mean, we go into this post-apocalyptic... Why? Why do we have to keep going to the post-apocalyptic future? Why? Why can't we just make it like now, here, today? You know, they went to the local CVS and they went into the aisle to get something, some medication or something that was a little bit experimental, and all hell broke loose. Or they, you know, someone's remodeling a house, damn it. You know, get the Property Brothers out there. Or Chip and Joanne, okay, and let them come out and rip up a house and, oh, damn, look at that, we unleashed the Knights Templar again. You know, I just don't understand it. Why does it always have to be this latest thing? Let's go post-apocalyptic, or let's go back to the dinosaurs age, okay? What is that, prehistoric or something, right? I'm really not understanding. Why are we going to these two extremes? Is it because then maybe we go post-apocalyptic and we can, you know, have a rundown building or something else? Shit, you can do that now. There's plenty of those out there. I just don't get it. What was the purpose? Why can't you do it like they did? Hey, we have some people going on a tourist attraction, if you would. They're tourists, they're on a tour of some ancient ruins, and we have them find, I don't know, a scroll. And somebody starts reading the scroll. Yeah, I know, it's kind of like pulling off of Evil Dead, but so what? At least we know that kind of stuff, right? At least we understand what we're supposed to do. Oh, well, I guess we got to move on to the next part of Nunsploitation. That's right. We have Nuns, an Italian horror story, comes to DVD and digital on February 16th. Three nuns live in an old convent which has been converted into a guest house. Young Bruno is staying with them, acting as a caretaker. He does his best, but the convent is so large that it requires the assistance of a housekeeper, and soon hire Helena, a beautiful woman who Bruno falls in love with despite the consequences. The nuns begin to treat this beautiful housekeeper strangely, not accepting her presence in their home, an effect on has on Bruno. Soon, a university professor decides to investigate the strange origin of the convent and comes to spend the night with his two sons. From horror to mystery, Nuns cast a strange spell in a gorgeous cinematographer's style reminiscent of the Italian horror classics of Dario Argento and Mario Bava, while embracing the new concept of horror and terror. I don't know what to make out of this. This, I just don't know. I'll probably be sent a screener on this one, and those who know I'm doing the Visions of Horror know that, well, there's this movie, and there's, of course, Wrong Turn. I just got to see that one in the theater. Also sent the screener on it. I really don't know what to make out of that just yet. Oh, God. I'll probably maybe touch on that next week. I'm still trying to make my mind up about the whole thing. All right, moving right along, we got Phobias coming to theaters and on demand on March 19th. Five dangerous patients suffering from extreme phobias at a government testing facility are put to the ultimate test under supervision of a crazed doctor. Not me. I wasn't in the movie. I have an alibi. And his quest to weaponize their fear. Okay, sounds interesting enough. I know we've kind of gone through this a lot before, but hey, it's not being said in a post-apocalyptic world, so you gotta like that. All right, here's something that's interesting that came on our radar screen here. We're informed to watch Knifemere. That's knife, and it's all one word. It's Knifemare. Is been posted to be now available to stream on YouTube. This is a horror film short. Now, I was a little kind of confused by this. All right? See, it strangely premiered on YouTube on December 24th of 2019. And now they're saying it's been made available for you to watch on February 8th of 2021. Huh? Wait a minute, hasn't it then technically been on there for at least 2 years? Okay, so if you go over to the Horror Times, and again, you scroll on down, if you're following along, you already know this, but some people don't. You scroll all the way down to the podcast, you see the Baron's Crypt for this show, our show 259, you will see a link for the YouTube video, and you'll be able to watch this. Now, basically, this is four friends on a getaway weekend visit the infamous haunted bed and breakfast. But someone or something has followed them and plans on making sure they won't be leaving. With the help of a special amulet, will they survive the night or meet their bloody end by knife? Interesting. Nice way it's been written. It does get your attention. There's always been something about haunted hotels, haunted inns, a haunted bed and breakfast, a nice way to go. It's kind of like some of them. I think there's a recent one called Airbnb. So there's a couple of those out there that are playing on different themes of the stay over haunt thing. So it's always nice. Let me see here. Let me get into our next one. So our next one here is on iHorror. .com. Now, just a pure note here, iHorror has changed its site once again. I'm swearing, some of these sites are changing themselves so often, it's unbelievable. Now, if you go to iHorror, just to let you know, there is more advertising than ever before. I think there's now 5 advertisement banners and boxes and pop-ups, like about 5 per page. It's unbelievable. It's getting kind of very nuisance-like, really, to go to this site. That's the nice thing about coming to our site. We don't have all that advertising. Some people did consider what we were doing recently to be advertising by putting down links of where you can go to purchase a film or such. I don't really consider that advertising in a way. I'm just telling you where you can find the movie. And why do I do this? Well, here's a simple reason. So many people will contact me. Hey, Baron, that movie sounds really interesting. Where can I get it? Now, you know, look, it should be, to me, common sense that you go to Amazon. But, you know, people go to Amazon and they can't find the movie. So we put down the links now in the reviews. We're going back to older reviews. We're putting in these links. And people say, well, aren't you selling out in a way? And I go, what, because of becoming an affiliate or something of this? Yeah. So? It's not a sell. I'm not saying, hey, you got to go there and do it. No, I didn't say that. But so often people will contact and it's okay, here's the link. So I give you the link through an email and you're cool with that. But if I put it on the site, you get upset. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. I don't understand. And we figured, why not? Sometimes the filmmakers of a certain film get in contact with us and they ask us this. Or the PR company will ask, hey, listen, when you post a film, would you mind putting down the link to where the movie is available? It really great would, you know, be a help to us. Sure, why not? It doesn't hurt. Doesn't take anything away from what we're doing. I mean, look, we put down the taglines. We put down the ratings. We put down a trailer. We put down maybe the full movie itself, depending on what it is. So, you know, it's just something we do. So I don't call it a sellout, and I don't call it advertising. I just call it, hey, here's the link. You know, now you make your decision. So anyway, let's talk about Blumhouse. They're going to have a new adaptation of the movie Firestarter that casts Michael Green Eyes. No, it's not Green Eyes. Excuse me. Gray Eyes. My apologies to Michael. Basically, the book was originally published in 1980. Firestarter tells the story of a young Charlie McGee, a powerful girl gifted with the ability of just basically some pyrotechnics, if you would. She comes by her powers due to her parents' participation in experiments run by a mysterious shop, a government entity that operates largely off the books. Basically, it's kind of CIA meets, I don't know, otherworldly entities. But it's something like that, really, if you want to get down to it. So the CIA is working with other government agencies to develop these mind-controlling powers. Basically, Charlie's father, Andy, walked away from those experiments with the ability to control the minds of others to an extent, while her mother, Victoria, developed some minor abilities, but nothing really major. So you have that. When the shop discovers Charlie's abilities, well, damn it, they kidnap her in the intent of weaponizing her gifts. So they're going to be doing a new adaptation. I mean, let's face it, that's what happens a lot out there. Now, here's what I want to really touch on. I know the filmmakers for this one, so I'm not going to hide from that in any way, shape, or form. But this one's called The Beast Comes at Midnight. Now, this is in the early stages of pre-production mode. You can find out more by going to thebeastcomesatmidnight.com. It's basically in a Florida carnival town, excuse me, with secrets. A true crime-obsessed middle school outcast anonymously hosts a conspiracy theory podcast that is quickly gaining popularity. While investigating a serial killer, he discovers the town may be facing an even greater threat. A bloodthirsty beast that hunts by the light of the full moon. Oh, yes. Basically, what we have here, nobody believes them. But the popular cheerleader and sideshow fortune teller that is hiding his past as a Cold War era monster hunter. Oh, look at that. Well, we've got Ed McKeever involved in this project here. I believe his son is also involved in it. There's a few other people that are being added to it, so that's pretty cool. And I just really want to say that with this film, you know, it's one of those that I'll be promoting as hard as ever before. I'm going to try to get some interviews as time goes on. Right now, the early stages, I don't want to bring them on the show in any shape, way, or form until they're really, really ready to get into this type of movie. But knowing that they did the 100 Acres movie, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't ask for it, and they did it on their own. You know, they thanked me in the movie, you know, the credits, even noting the Baron Craze, the Baron Crip podcast show, which was terrific. I really appreciate these things. It was wonderful for them to do that, and I greatly appreciate it all the time. Okay, we don't have much left of our show. It's been a bit of a hard weekend. I really wanted to get the show out on Friday night, and that blew up in my face in 9 different ways. You see, you know, it's the anniversary, and today I'm recording this show on my 1-year anniversary of my father's passing. So it's been a hard day or two. Didn't get a lot of things done personally. Boy, you know, you go to these anniversaries, and this one you don't want at all for anybody, and you're just trying to get your work done, and you struggle a little bit. But anyway, I want to play the next track here for a show called The House of the Rising Sun. It's The Animals. That's the band, The Animals. It's a cover track from the band Splinter Throne. Now, for those who are curious, House of Rising Sun is a song that is connected to the American Horror Story for season 3, I believe it is. I think it's where they had the Coven, I think is what it was called. But anyway, it's a great song, and enjoy it, and we'll be back just in a little bit. right, so that was Splinter Throne with House of the Rising Sun, the Animals, which is the band, the Animals, cover. I thought it was a pretty good version that they did there. Now, before we roll out of this show for this week, we've got some free horror to let you know about. With so many different VOD sites out there, it's harder and harder. So I just want to kind of pick out a few. Two that I've reviewed and two that I haven't yet. So the two first that I want to note is one's called Madman. Now, this one is on Tubi, and it's a great movie. And in fact, if you can find it on Blu-ray, you should definitely buy it. I have it. It's a classic slash one to have in your collection. Once Friday the 13th became an enormous hit in 1980, the killer camp slasher scenario just began to, spiral out of control in every direction, every which way. And in 1981, Madman's turn to spill some blood definitely occurred. And basically, again, it's at a wilderness camp. People are being stalked by a lunatic serial killer. But there's something about this movie that's a bit, truly classic. It doesn't have the political correctness. And in fact, these kind of movies that were made back then, that so many filmmakers today want to do these throwback horror, have trouble in actually trying to capture the essence of them. Why? Because the shit we got away with back then, you can't get away with today. Whether it's from a legal standpoint, an ethical standpoint, insurance reasons, or just downright into your social media backlash of how dare you think or do that. And we're not talking, look, anytime people say that, people think, oh, something racist or something. No. Nothing really like that, although certain words are dropped and people don't get truly upset. There is some, how should I put this? There's some irkiness there. You get irked, get your temper rising up. I get it. But one of the things that's happening there is just the sheerness of this. We're going to push it to the maximum level and we're going to have fun with it. And that's really what horror is about. Look, if you're going to work in horror, you're going to get your hands dirty in so many different ways. You just have to understand, look, you don't give a shit what people think. You just keep pushing it out there, keep doing it, and that's it. And the audience is going to respect you for it. Are you going to win Oscars? No. You're going to win awards? Yes. But let's face it, you got to make a decision where you want to line up. Are you using horror as a stepping stone to hone your skills better before moving on to the more mainstream? Fine, you can do that. That's not a problem. But if you're going to really entrench yourself in the guts and the gore, then you better do it all the way, because these kind of films definitely deliver that. Now, let's talk about another one. It's a real classic. It came from 1960. It's called 13 Ghosts. It's available on Crackle. This is William Castle's movie about a family who inherits a house from a very eccentric dead uncle. And basically, it's got a bunch of ghosts in it. There are 12 ghosts in all, but the new residents soon find that that this group of 12 wants one more in their pack. It's a strange movie, yes. But there are some classic moments in here. I believe the actress's name is Margaret Hamilton. Most famous for her role on Wizard of Oz. And the reason I always say that is, you have to understand, when Wizard of Oz came out, it wasn't the big draw that it is today with so many people. It was a little bit more of a minor ripple. And there's a part where Margaret's character at the end of the movie is holding this broom and gives this kind of weird, knowing glance to the camera as if she knows what that other film is going to become. It's just a little bit creepy, and at the same time, there's a little bit campness thrown in there. And I think that's what makes the movie so great. I love this movie. I really do. And in fact, so many other people do. that the things that to collect for this movie are so damn expensive. I mean, the movie posters go for $500-$600 sometimes. So it's very difficult to find anything of this movie, very cheaply, of course. But needless to say, I think it's just something great that you should definitely take a moment to watch. Now for two films that I can clearly say that I haven't reviewed yet, but I have looked a little bit ahead in what these maniacs and friends of mine did for the Visions of Horror. I'm pretty much guaranteed these films are on that list. Don't know for a fact, they may not be, but something tells me, yeah, they put these two movies up there. The first one's called Landmine Goes Click. Now, this is available on the site Vudu, that's V-U-D-U. This came out in 2015, a movie about a trio of young friends, a guy and his girlfriend and his best friend, who are out hiking in the wilderness. The best friend steps onto an old landmine, but notices before he steps off and detonates it. Well, that's always good, right? So he is basically trapped there on that spot. It is then that the boyfriend decides to confront him about a fling that he had with his girlfriend. Oh, what a wonderful time to get into it, right? Let's see. You can't move anywhere, but let me just get into this while you try to figure out how to survive this latest dilemma in life. Well, the other movie, now, I always screw up this title. I really do. Let's see. I'm just going to spell it, if that's okay with everybody out there. P-O-U-G-H-K-E-E-P-S-I-E, tapes on Tubi. It's about a serial killer who stalked motorists and prostitutes in the Pennsylvania, New York area. He videotaped many of his misdeeds, and the movie purports to be made up of those tapes. It's more of a documentary meets a mockumentary about the tapes of an actual found footage movie. These tapes is violent, shocking, and disturbing. It's difficult to watch. It's full of twists and turns that the viewers can't stop. Now, the story is very fascinating in a sense and was made back in 2007. However, it was really shelved into a very, very limited VOD run in 2014. And finally got a real solid release in 2017 and was made available on Blu-ray. I am very sure that I have this particular movie in my collection, actually. So, again, it's available on the Tubi thing. The Tubi platform, if you would, or website. All right, moving right along. And just to round out our show, we want to here discuss probably one of my top five slasher favorites. It's My Bloody Valentine from 1981. For those who are aware, Shout Factory had an incredible bundle package that was made available early, I guess somewhere early in 2020. You got to have a figurine of the miner, which is really cool because there's really nothing available, how should I put, merchandise-wise of this movie. There's been a couple of art print interpretations and such, which I do have. There's been a run on trying to find the posters, which has been very difficult. Some have even gone as far as to have at least a couple of Molson beers, because the film was done up in Canada, so Molson is the beer choice there. Even to a fact that I know someone personally who has gotten a Molson neon sign, and they really had to dig around for this one, that is identical to the one that's in the movie in the bar scene. So I think that's pretty cool. Trying to find a miner's pick that's used in the movie is very difficult. I have the knife that's identical to the one that's used in the movie, by the way, so that is pretty cool. It's just a movie that was actually filmed in a mine, an actual mine that wasn't being used anymore. So that is really cool to use that kind of location. I don't know if you could get away with that today, because you got to sign a waiver. In case there's a cave-in, you may not get out, okay? So think about that. hey, you need to sign this waiver that says you may not make it out. So anyway, they've just released a Blu-ray Steelbook limited edition. I, of course, have gotten this. I mean, I have this film probably in every format you can think of because I like it so damn much. So we have a decades-old folktale surrounding a deranged murder killing who's basically against anybody celebrating Valentine's Day. And turns out to be true to the legend when a group decides to defile the killer's order and people start to have a good old party, start doing a lot of he and a she, and, you know, and they basically start turning up dead. They're getting screwed in new ways they never thought. So you have some options. You can either find the movie, have it express delivery to you, or you already have it, as you should. If you have Prime Video, that's a great way to watch it also. If you've got Pluto TV figured out, there's another way for you to go. And with that being said, that is really our entire show. I want to thank you for listening and reading it along on the Hard Time site. For the Baron's Crypt, our show 259, it's been a pleasure to be your host, I, Baron Craze. Is there anything you guys want to have me discuss in the shows? Always reach out. If you're looking to be on the show, we have a couple different options there. You can get in contact with me. We can do a pre-recorded interview and discussion and put that on the show. If you wanted to do something live, we don't have a problem going back and doing a live show. It would only be a standard two-hour show, and that's all we could do there. But we can have a lot of fun with it also. So, as for two closeout music tracks, we're first going to play Deceased, their version of the Ballad of Harry Warden from My Bloody Valentine soundtrack. It was so cool when this band covered this track. I was just like, oh yes, we're going to have fun. And right after that, we're going to play a band called Envenomed with the track Horror Movie, which is basically a Skyhooks tribute, which is really cool if you've ever heard Skyhooks music. It's kind of wacky out there a little bit. But Horror Movie is just a real good send-up for everybody. And otherwise, that's been our show. We hopefully come back on next Friday with another show and see how things go. Otherwise, thanks for tuning in and enjoy the music as we end out our show.
Once upon a time, on a sad Valentine, in a place known as Hinnature Mine, a legend began. Every woman and man would always remember the time, and those who remain were never the same. You could see the fear in their eyes. Once every year, as the 14th draws near, there's a hush all over the town, for the legend they say on a Valentine's Day is a curse that'll live on, and no one will know as the years come and go of the horror from long time ago. From long time ago. ago.
And I'll tell you something.